From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Cancel, and here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. This week we're revisiting some of our interviews with authors, and the next one is one of my personal favorites. In her books, science writer Mary Roach loves to write about the dirty, icky, and strange, from sex to what happens to our bodies after we are done with them.
Mary joined us in September of 2010 and explained what drove her unique set of interests.
I have the mind of a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell.
Mary, having read your books, I could take that to mean that you actually have one sitting on your shelf, because I know you can get around.
No, that's just the head, Peter.
No, sorry, excuse me. That was removed. But no, and of course, in your latest book, I Should Not Neglect Packing for Mars, which is about humans in space, you spend an awful lot of time talking about, shall we say, the elimination function.
That's the 12-year-old boy angle. But it's a fascinating topic, is it not?
Oh, I can't get enough of it myself. So how do you pick your topics?
Well, it's got to have a little science, it's got to have a little history, a little humor, and something gross. So
right.
That pretty much leaves sex, dead bodies, and poop.
There you are.
So after this, my career is done.
Right. What was really interesting to me about this book is because it made me think about something that I had not thought about before, which was exactly how much planning and preparation has to go into sending people into space. And to me, among the most interesting parts of the book is the testing of the psychological experience of being in space.
Yeah, talking about 5-6 people in a little tiny room for weeks, months, years at a time. I mean, can you imagine anything worse?
Yeah. Well, one of the things you write about is sort of the space travel version of cabin fever. Well, people locked in the small space together for weeks at a time can get very, very hostile towards each other.
They get very hostile, but here's the thing: they can't take it out on each other because that makes the situation worse. They depend on each other for survival, so they turn it inward, and then they get sort of depressed. And I interviewed this cosmonaut, Alexander Levake, and I said, he was up on Mir for 6 months. I said, did you get really depressed? And he said, Mary, there were times when I wanted to hang myself, but of course, it's zero gravity. And you can't.
The other thing you write about at some length in your book is the extraordinary science and preparation and technology that goes into using the restroom in space. Because it turns out that we, as you point out, are evolved to do that sort of thing here on Earth with gravity.
Yes. Yes, gravity is your friend because gravity gives you good separation.
Between you and what you're trying to rid yourself of.
This is the holy grail of the NASA waste management team, good separation. Because without gravity, the contributions... okay? The contribution to the toilet... it just kind of hovers. It doesn't fall. You don't have the prop. So you need to encourage the material to go down into the toilet some other way, so they use airflow. It's basically you are sitting on a shop vac.
That's terrifying.
But then they need to test the toilet, too. That's when it gets really scary.
They test the toilet?
Okay, they have to make sure it works in zero gravity. That means you have to haul the whole thing over to Ellington Field and load it onto one of those zero gravity planes that goes up and down. And you have 22 seconds of zero gravity to test it.
No way.
I talked to a guy who was on that flight, and he says that there was a curtain between him and the toilet. He said, when we go over the top, you'd see the toilet rise up off the bottom of the plane, and you'd hear these guys going, go, 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 go!
That sounds like the best fraternity hazing of all time.
Mary Roach, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
It's-a-me, Mario.
As I'm sure you've noticed by the national celebrations, parades, and solemn ceremonies, this week was the 25th anniversary of the release of Super Mario Brothers, the greatest and most long-lasting video game franchise of all time. So, Mary, answer two questions correctly about Mario and his friends. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Carl, who is author Mary Roach playing for?
It's a Phil Esterda of a Poughkeepsie, New York.
Do I need to reset you, Carl? You... Are you ready to play, Mary?
I think so.
All right. Here's your first question. Mario was known in Japan as Jumpman, but he became Mario first in the United States and then the rest of the world because, well, why? A, the discussion about what to name him was interrupted by the landlord looking for the rent. The landlord named Mario. B, one of the designers based the character on his favorite nun back in parochial school, Sister Maria. Or C, one of the designers had an uncle named Mario he hated, so he wanted to drop barrels on him.
I'm going with barrels.
You're going to go with barrels. He just hated his Uncle Mario so much he wanted to drop little pixelated barrels on him. No, I'm afraid it was actually A. It was the landlord. This happened in Seattle. The Nintendo USA, the designers are trying to come up with a name for the American version, and the landlord, Mario Segale, comes in and says, "Where's my rent?" And they said, "Aha, Mario." There you go. All right, two more chances. Mario faces a lot of enemies in his various games, including the Boo enemies that first appeared in Super Mario 64. These are quiet little ghosts that will suddenly attack you when you get close. They were inspired by what? A, the game designer's dog, B, the game designer's wife, or C, the game designer's own legendary temper?
I'm going to go with the... the wife.
Yes, the wife. Very good. We quote from an account of the invention of the game. His wife is very quiet normally, but one day she exploded, maddened by all the time he spent at work. In the game, there is now a character who shrinks when Mario looks at it, but when Mario turns away, it will grow large and menacing. All right, this is great, Mary. You have one more chance to get it right. Here we go and win the game. Believe it or not, but back in 1993, there was a live-action movie made of the Super Mario Brothers game. It was called Super Mario Brothers. In his autobiography, star John Leguizamo says that he and co-star Bob Hoskins made it through the difficult and demanding production by doing what? A, constantly playing the game on set. B, making up elaborate backstories to explain how Mario and Luigi became plumbers. Or C, drinking heavily.
I can go with the backstories.
That's your choice, huh?
Yeah.
All right. No, it was drinking heavily.
Oh, no.
Have you ever seen this movie? You practically need to get slammed just to finish watching it, let alone acting in it. No, the movie, it was in fact the first major motion picture to be made from a video game, and it was an absolute disaster for everyone involved. Carl, how did Mary Roach do in our quiz?
Mary needed at least two correct answers to win for Phil Sturt, but she had just one correct
answer. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's Mary Roach is the author of a bunch of great, fascinating, and funny books, including Bonk and Stiff, her latest. Is a great book called Packing for Mars. Go get it now. Mary Roach, thank you so much for being with us. Great to have you on the show.